disappeared. Peter Diney, good morning.
Good morning, David. Good morning to your listeners.
2 weeks since we spoke.
I know, it goes quick, doesn't it?
Seems like,
yeah.
The other day.
The days are long, the years are short, aren't they? Oh, it's just ticking away and yeah. Christmas will be here. Oh, Christmas is so close and around the corner.
It's
a lovely time of year, actually. Everyone's sort of in that celebrating mode. They're sort of touching on it. Yeah. A few Christmas parties, you know.
Yeah, the problem I find is that kids at kindy not allowed to sing carols anymore.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Because it's politically not correct. It might offend somebody. And to me, if you're living in a culture, and it is our culture, it is a Christian festival, but forget the Christian part of it. It's still Christmas, goodwill, the lovely, wonderful spirit of sharing, etc. And if that can't be accepted by people who come to live here, excuse yourself from those sort of events.
I've never come across someone that's been offended by a Christmas carol. By bad language, people get offended, but by a Christmas carol? No,
these days, no. And I went into Woolworths, and I'll name them. I won't say which store, but I went to Woolworths. In fact, I've been in a couple of Woolworths stores. We don't normally shop there, but in the last couple of few days, we had to go in for various reasons, and not a bauble or a bangle, and not a tinsel. There's no Christmas music. If you want to see Christmas, take a walk down the Adelaide Arcade. Just between Rundle and Grenfell Street, and that is Christmas.
It's funny because
they do a similar job too.
In Europe, it's such a big time of year. Right. Every street is decorated. Yeah. I know in London, they basically shut off the streets for street Christmas festival parties, and the whole city is lit up Christmas trees and lights, and it really is a festival.
Yes, and if you look at the word Christmas, it's Christ's birthday. And whether you believe in the God, Father, the Son of God, all those other things, virgin births, I mean, that's all the traditional teachings we've had here in Australia, well, in the Western world. If you don't believe in that, it's still Christ's birthday, and he was a wonderful spiritual teacher.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yes, it's so true. And it sort of dilutes Christmas, doesn't it? It makes it a bit more boring. I mean, the whole thing is to have a festival and relax and, celebrate it. So, no, I agree with you, David. I didn't realise that, and it's, it's ridiculous now, isn't it?
It's crazy, yeah. But look, I mean, you look at the Christmas decorations in the shopping centres, and very, very laid back, if there's any. Even through the city streets.
No, definitely we noticed that as well. I mean, years ago, every shop that you went into and house and that, they were all lit up, but now it's just getting diluted, isn't it?
David Jones was like a winter wonderland for so long.
That's right, the Magic Cave and all that sort of stuff.
Well, okay, Christmas parties, and I'm going to go to a few. I'm going to make sure I'll invite myself. Alcohol.
Yeah, it can be the curse of us sometimes, but be careful with it. I mean, it's that time of year, and we're all drinking a little bit more, but we also suffer the hangover effect from alcohol.
Yeah, that's part of the plan. That's part of it, is it?
Everything's got a price, unfortunately. Yeah. Well, look, when you drink, straight away, 33% of the alcohol goes into your bloodstream. So when you have that initial drink, champagne over Christmas, whatever it is, you get that effect straight away. But it's only a third of the alcohol. The rest is put into the stomach and will come through more slowly. And then once it's in your bloodstream, then it starts entering your cells and organs. And that's when your brain and your liver and your kidney all get affected.
Mm.
But, if you do have a few drinks one night and you've got what causes the hangover is it's when the liver converts the alcohol to the toxin acetate. And so it's not the alcohol that gives you the hangover effect. It's what it converts the alcohol into, acetate, into toxin.
So the liver's worked on the alcohol.
Yeah, it's trying to get out the body.
Acetate.
Yeah, and then once it makes it acetate, the body can get rid of that out of the body. Mm-hmm. So that's the toxin that actually makes you feel ill. Also, when you drink, you become dehydrated because you always go to the toilet a lot more once you do it, and that will give you that hangover effect. And the alcohol will affect your immune system, and that's what will make you feel ill as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
you drink water, lots of water.
Yeah,
second drink is a glass of water.
Drink as much water as you can. If you've got the hangover from the Christmas party, there are a couple of cures. Absolutely, number one is drink plenty of water. Before you go to bed, in between drinks, just keep hydrating the body because that being dehydrated makes you ill. Also plan to catch up on some sleep the next day because if you have alcohol, it throws your body rhythm out and then you never have a good sleep that night, so you don't be overtired. Lots of times when you drink alcohol, you'll become hyperglycemic, which you'll have low blood sugar level. So in the morning, get a good healthy breakfast. A lot of times you can have a banana.
Sometimes you don't feel like a good healthy breakfast.
Well, another, no, it's the last thing you want, but or a banana before you go to bed with the potassium and the sugar in the banana, and that will slowly release and that will help it out. These days there's those clinics that do the hangover drip. I haven't been to one, but I've heard they're quite effective. You go there and they plug some B12 and vitamin C in you and some oxygen, big in Sydney apparently. And there's a hangover drip clinics around the place. And zinc, try to get as much zinc as you can into your diet.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, we see, the story was when I was younger, Barocca.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah, definitely.
Yep,
absolutely. All those. That Barocca is great. It's got some vitamins and, again, it will rehydrate the body. Mm. But, you know, alcohol is funny, like we said before. It's like a poisoning plant syndrome. You know, you can pour poison onto a plant when it's young, but the plant will still grow strong. But eventually, the plant will die, you know, over years and years of alcohol. Years and years of poison. That's the same with your body. Yeah. You know, as you're young, you can drink a bit and you're going, you know, you go pretty strong. But then after a while, if you keep drinking, it'll slowly poison you. So if you can, you know, limit it.
Absolutely. You spoke of zinc. Where do we get zinc from?
It's really important if you've been drinking. And there's a lovely saying, take zinc if you drink. Very easy to remember.
I might have made it my slogan for this Christmas.
And zinc is a mineral. The body doesn't store zinc, so it's not fat storable in your body. So you've got to constantly be putting it in. But zinc is great. It supports your immune system. It's good for your DNA. It's excellent for liver support. Great if you're drinking. Heals wounds and colds. So it's a very, very important mineral. And now if you want to have foods that contain zinc.
Yes, please.
Oysters.
Oysters.
Number one. Very good. Meat, both red and white. Legumes, so chickpeas, lentils and beans. Nuts, grains and seeds. Dairy and some egg. That's like the vegetarian, that's like the Mediterranean diet, isn't it? If you just read, I'll read that again. So oysters, meat, you know, red and white. Legumes, chickpeas, lentils and beans. Nuts, grains, seeds. Dairy and eggs. So,
right. So after a heavy night on the booze, to get the zinc, you have a plate full of scrambled eggs.
Or even if you can have some oysters while you're drinking, that'll help you out. Yeah. And then get some nuts and scrambled eggs, dairy, perfect.
All right, so zinc is, and of course there are supplements of zinc.
Yeah, you can take supplements, but you know you'll get enough from your food. Yeah, the body doesn't need much zinc, but it needs it constantly. So every day, if you can try, even for good health, I said, even for healing wounds, looking after your liver, and you know, when they say you got a cold, get some zinc. Absolutely, just try to get some of those foods into your diet daily, and you'll be in good health.
Wow. Okay, so there's an important part of our diet, the zinc. We were discussing before we went to air that something about a good life and a huge study, and it sounds so interesting. What makes a good life? Money, food, apartments?
Fame, rock and roll lifestyle. Well, we think it does, but apparently not. This is a very interesting study. It's over 75 years, which is very rare for a study to go that long yet. It's taken several generations of researchers to do this study because it's been such a long study. And it's done by Harvard University, so it's a legitimate study. And it tracked the lives of 724 men. And what they did do, that must have been in the 30s, if it's obviously 75 years. Around back then.
Yes.
So just after the war. So they split the group in half. Half were Harvard students, obviously well-to-do. The other half were the poor people from Boston, almost the street kids. People. Yeah, just peasants, probably too strong a war, but the very poor, underworking class of Boston.
Lower socioeconomic.
That's exactly who they were. Yes. And they were all 19 years old.
All right.
And it's very interesting. After this study, every 2 years, they would go around and find these people, ring them up and say, look, we're going to go around there and can you fill out the questionnaire? They did their blood tests and brain analysis and health examinations. And obviously, as time went on, the test got more clever, I guess. Obviously, they couldn't do it. The brain analysis back in the 30s, but they can do it now. And they got some really, really good results. And but what else was quite interesting was that, look, some of the poor climbed the social ladder. Some of the rich slid down it. So there was a mix. Some got schizophrenia. Some turned to alcoholism. Some died young. One even became a president out of these 724 men. That was Kennedy.
John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, so they had a very diverse range.
Yeah, yeah. So they examined every aspect of living.
Yeah, every aspect of living.
To find what makes a good life.
Yeah, they, as I said, they did questionnaires, they did blood tests, brain analysis, health examinations. They actually interviewed the wives and the other people of the family. They set up cameras sometimes to see the discussions these people had with their family in depth. And the clearest message from this 75-year study, out of everything else, was that good relationships kept us happy and healthy and gave you a longer life. So more than diet, more than any other health exercise or any other health benefits, the number one study, the result they got from it was that good relationships was something you can't buy. And they worked out it protected your mind and your body. They did a test at the people that were 50, and they found that the people with good relationships at 50 were healthier at 80. So it's a very, very interesting study. On the other hand, they did loneliness, and they found the people that were lonely, and they put it down to loneliness was toxic. It was almost as bad as cigarettes and or worse than alcohol, and it led to a shorter lifespan and health problems.
You can understand it. When you've got a good relationship, you're feeling good, you wake up well in the morning, you go to bed well at night, and in between times, nice activities.
Definitely, and another part that the study said that even when people had ailments, if they had a good, healthy relationship, the ailments weren't as bad, you know. But if you're lonely and then something hurts, everything is magnified worse.
Oh, yeah.
And as great results they got from having good relationships and making them live longer, the alternative of being lonely was, you know, was very detrimental to your health. Yeah. The guy leading the study now, Robert Waldinger, he's the professor at Harvard. He did a talk, a TED talk on this, and it's really worth watching. He's got 13 million views so far on this, so it's got a bit of momentum. It's been in the paper.
Yes.
And I found it very interesting because we're always pushing good diet, obviously, and exercise, which is part of it. But from this study, it was all about having good relationships, not just a relationship, but good quality relationship, people you can depend on and be around, and that will give you a good, healthy life.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's really amazing. So,
well, I mean, all the other aspects are important, with health and diet, yep, and exercise, etc., but that relationship is the key.
And one of the things was that, you know, when they studied people and they said, look, even if they had high cholesterol but a good relationship, they live longer. You know, so if, as we know, you know, it affects every cell of your body, stress and what have you. So if you can, you know, try to build those relationships. And if you can, listen to this TED talk. It's very fascinating. Robert Waldinger, I said, he's had 13 million views. And
that's on YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube, a TED talk YouTube. Yep.
Waldinger.
Waldinger, yep. Yes. And it's actually called What Makes a Good Life. Oh, and right. And they said a 75-year-old study. And yeah, it's fascinating.
Fabulous. Peter, you've done us good. May our relationship continue in
2 weeks'
time.
Yes, yeah, so Dave, we'll live forever. We've got this great relationship. We can talk and, you know, count on each other. We'll be fine.
Not going that far. Not living forever, I promise. But thank you for that. Very interesting study. And we'll speak again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, David.
Peter Dynan from Freedom Fitness in Flinders Street. Wonderful, delightful gymnasium where you can go along in the relationship.